Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
Wow, this is an incredible sight and incredible sounds. Just hearing the praise of God resounding from the place where God truly resides, a basketball gym. I am just loving this, man. This is incredible. If this is your first time at ACC, I don't really know how to welcome you or what to say other than you are standing and sitting in moments that so many people have prayed for. And our church has never met in this room with no plans to ever do it again, but we believe that every single Sunday, God provides the space and the moment for us to come together as a church. So our church doesn't have its own building, but we believe that the move of God that God has started through Auburn Community Church is more about the people than the place, and more about a movement than a once a week meeting. And so welcome to ACC. We hope you feel at home. And I just have to be honest, I can barely breathe standing up here seeing what I am seeing in this moment. This is going to be an incredible night. Already is from the songs that we've sung, and I can't wait to step into it with you. We're going to start a brand new series as a church called Change the World. Change the World. Could you look at the person next to you and say, change the world, change the world, change the world. So that's like the most cliche thing to say. Oh man, you're a world changer. What that really means is that you're above average and you're doing something decent with your life. And we say things like, man, I'm going to change the world one day. But really what we're saying is, you're going to do something semi-decent in life and maybe some people will be impacted. And that's awesome. But if you say I'm going to change the world, it just makes it sound like it's cooler, better, and more important. And so I don't want the title of this series to be anything cliche or anything to just falsely motivate us in this space. In this season as a church, I believe God has provided some very specific ways that I love saying this little church in Auburn, Alabama. This used to be little church in Auburn, Alabama really does have the capacity to change the world. And in a month where it's so easy for us in the church to talk about what God's going to do in our church and try to motivate you to generosity. You need to know that. Like, December is the easiest month to motivate someone to give toward your church. And we're going to spend an entire month talking about people who aren't a part of our church and how God is going to use us on mission to change them. And I think that's a really cool thing about this season. Now, that doesn't mean the next December we're not going to talk about our church. But I just feel like this moment, God has called us to look beyond what he's doing in Auburn, Alabama, and actually step in to changing the entire world for the glory of God. Because maybe you didn't know this. I was kind of blown away when I learned this at about 10 years old. Jesus is not American. And Jesus did not grow up in America, nowhere close. He's Jewish from the Middle East, never saw the States. And Jesus does not simply reside in Bible Belt churches in Georgia and in Alabama, and in, sorry, I didn't even mean to say that state tonight, my bad. I was so miserable yesterday, y'all. I was doing a wedding for all UGA people. I'm over here talking about how great God is and how great marriage is, and then looking at the TV and going, get me out of here, Lord. But it's okay, Jesus is on the throne, and we're still Auburn, and it's good to be alive today. So glad that you guys are in a good mood tonight. We're really concerned, like, is this gonna be like a funeral type worship service or what? But y'all came out with the energy. So I love that. What was I talking about? Jesus is not American. He is for the nations and he's for the world. And for the most part, for 3 years, we've seen how God can provide an explosive movement through a small group of people in Auburn, Alabama. But I wonder if in 2017, God wants to begin a new initiative in taking what we are doing in Auburn and spreading it across the world. We're going to change the world. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 tonight. Matthew chapter 9. Really quick passage. I'm going to start in verse 35. It's basically explaining what Jesus did as his ministry was expanding. People were coming to believe that he is the Son of God. People are being healed. People are following him. And there's this one little moment that Matthew describes in Matthew chapter 9 that I want us to take a look at together. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is a short passage of scripture that's pretty famous. It talks about the moment where Jesus noticed that what God was doing in the world had to go further beyond himself. And that's not to say that everything isn't about Jesus. It's that Jesus likes to use people to change the world, not change the world while we watch and eat popcorn. And it says that when he noticed how needy these people were, he had compassion on them. We're going to talk about that word, but I like that it says this. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What this verse is referring to is that the leaders in Israel, the spiritual leaders in Israel at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, had become so serious about people doing enough to obey the law of God that they were neglecting to teach the people that this was actually about how much God loved them. So what was happening is you got all these people who are nowhere near righteous enough, who are nowhere near obedient enough, who are nowhere near compliant enough to have a real relationship with God. And Jesus comes with this message of hope, with this message of life, and is providing an opportunity for people to step into a relationship with God. But he's noticing that he's the only one out there doing it. And the people who are supposed to be representing God to the world are making it more difficult for people to come to God than they are making it simpler. That's what our church stands to do, by the way. We do not believe that you have to become obedient enough or compliant enough or perfect enough to come to God. We believe Jesus did that on your behalf and has paved the way for you to step into a relationship with him 100% on the basis of what he has done and 0% on what you bring to the table. That's unconditional love. And that's what we celebrate tonight. That's why people are singing and looking all emotional and raising their hands. It's not that they have questions for God or they like to look like they're just singing with all of their might. It's because they actually believe that the God of the universe has bridged the gap between them and God by what Jesus has done. It says Jesus had compassion on them. And then he said this. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Basically saying that, using the analogy of farming, there's a lot of people that need a lot of help and very few people to do it. And so would you pray that God would send out workers into his harvest field? We're going to talk about why Jesus said that and what he did next in just a few minutes, but I want to give you the sermon title. The sermon title, and really the title of this entire night, is one word from that passage, and it's the word compassion. Compassion. I like that this says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I love that word because that word goes beyond empathy. That word goes beyond feeling sorry for someone. Compassion is when you are so moved by someone else's situation that you actually step into their reality and do something about it. And so empathy and feeling sorry for somebody, that's decent. But how many of you have ever been in a situation where somebody was like, "Oh, I feel so sorry for you," and, "Oh man, I'm right there with you," and you just got broken up with, and the person who told you that's in like a perfect relationship? You're like, "You are not right there with me. You are in the opposite place of the place that I am." That's not compassion. That's empathy. "Man, I'm just so sorry. I feel bad for you." And you're like, "Please save your pity. Your life's perfect. It's great. Mine, I'm struggling over here." And I've had a moment like that, not like just like that one, but one in our high school small group. I remember one time one of my friends in our high school small group was talking about losing one of his grandparents and how close he was to one of his grandparents. And we were all kind of like, "Yeah, man, with you, love you, praying for you." And another guy was like, "Man, I'm right there with you. My dog died last week." I know we got a lot of dog lovers in here, so I just feel like this is a separate message. They're not people. And in that moment, I just remember me and my best friend who has preached here before, Sammer, we were kind of looking at each other like, "Are you going to say something? Because I think I'm going to say something, but is it Jesus wants us to say something or the flesh? Probably both. And we're looking back. I remember Samer goes, nope, nope, nope. Sorry, not the same thing. Sorry, I feel really bad for you, but do not bring your false sense of compassion and pity in here, because that's not a person. And I feel like we need to remember that there are other people in the world who are not as excited about your dog as you are, especially when you're at like the Red Barn or you're trying to run and people are like, oh, he's not usually like this. Well, he's trying to bite me right now. And that's what's happening. Okay? This was not at all in my notes, but I'm just passionate about that. Not everybody loves your dog. You might. I don't. I'm afraid of dogs, hate cats. It's another sermon, another day. Compassion, watch this. Compassion is your capacity to not just feel sorry for someone, but to, watch this, step into their pain. And if we're gonna change the world at Auburn Community Church, we need to be a church that stands in the midst of pain, not removes ourselves from pain. And the ultimate person who embodied compassion is Jesus himself, because when Jesus came to save us, he didn't come down to earth and invite us into a new way of living. He fully stepped into our reality by becoming a human being. Jesus put on skin. He had real blood and stepped into our reality all the way from heaven to earth and said, I feel what you feel. And I have suffered what you suffered. And people like to tell me, well, Jesus never sinned, so he doesn't understand the weight of my sin, how hard this is. Oh yeah, you're right. Jesus did never sin. He died with your sin on him. Who do you think feels sin more? You or him? The one who committed it or the one who paid for it? Trust me, Jesus has compassion on your struggle today. And trust me, he's felt what you felt times a million in your suffering and in your pain. But Jesus, watch this, doesn't just want us to accept a relationship with him based on what he has done. He wants our relationship with him to flow in and through us so that we would be a church of compassion for a lost, dark, and broken world. And we would feel the pain that other people feel. And we would step into other people's reality. And we would not be a church that sits back in the United States of America and says, we're good, we got it, God has blessed us, and forgets that there is a world in pain out there waiting for us to rise as a church and do what God has called us to do. We will be a church of compassion. And you might read that story and look at it and go, well, Jesus had compassion on them. And then he said, pray. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, and he will. Well, when you look at that on the surface, you go, okay, so we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for the needs of the world. We need to, yes, we do. However, never take a passage of scripture in isolation. Always see it in context. And if you have your Bible in front of you right now, just go ahead and take a little peek down at John chapter 10 at what happens. We're not going to put it on the screen. Jesus sends out men and women all over Israel in the very next verse. So he feels compassion, prays, and then does something. And that's an extra step past what most of us do when it comes to a world in need that exists far outside our daily reality. We feel for them. We see the stories. We know the statistics. And y'all, I've been studying this all week. I could drop so many statistics on you. I just don't think that statistics give you compassion, because all they are numbers. They don't take you into someone else's world. Well, I could tell you that the majority of the world, over 50% of the world, lives on less than $3 a day. Over 50%. I can tell you that during this service alone, about 750 to 800 kids will die around the world from diseases and things that would have been easily prevented if they lived in our country, just during this service tonight. I can tell you all those things, but they're also removed from our reality that we hear that, watch this, we feel compassion and we feel compelled to pray. But I want you to notice that in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus felt compassion and he stepped into their pain and he prayed and said, it's gonna have to be because God does something, not because we do something on our own. But then he made a move. He put action behind his compassion. And that's what compassion does. It doesn't just feel the pain of another person. It doesn't just pray about the pain of another person. It actively steps up and does something. And so I am here to tell you that I believe ACC is going to change the world starting in this moment right here and right now. I'll tell you straight up, our church is going to be partnering. Watch this. This is going to be crazy. Blow your mind. We're going to be partnering with a group called Compassion International. And many of you have heard of this organization. You may have seen ads for this organization, but I can confidently tell you, I have never, ever, ever seen a nonprofit Christian organization use their dollars and their expertise to such a degree to alleviate poverty in the name of Jesus on behalf of kids. I've never seen a group do it the way they do it, and I've never seen a group so serious about partnering with the local church to make it happen. And so from here forward, ACC is going to be partnering with Compassion, starting tonight with what's called child sponsorships. We're going to get into what that looks like in a second. But what I believe is going to happen is that through our partnership with this organization, this church that's explosively growing in this college town is really and truly and actually going to change the entire world. I believe every single continent on earth, except for probably Antarctica. I don't think we got humans down there, but the other six, they are all going to be touched with a rapidly growing expression of our church in a very short time. Auburn Community Church will have kids stuck in poverty all around the world who are being provided for through Compassion, through our dollars, and Auburn Community Church will have a presence on every continent where there is human life that is growing, and we really and truly are going to start tonight in stepping into changing the world. Not just feeling bad for other people and not just praying for other people, but actually taking a step and doing something on their behalf. There's so many ways I want to inspire you in this moment. I've been on trips with Compassion and seen what they do, and I hope you're inspired in this moment to do something for the glory of God. But instead of statistics and instead of stories, we had something pop up in the life of our church just a few weeks ago that we could not hold back from you hearing about. You guys need to know there's a whole group of kids across the hall. We have a children's ministry. It's called ACC Kids, and Karen Snyder does an amazing job of running that part of our church, and we hope you appreciate that. It's awesome, but you're not going to believe this. A couple weeks ago, Karen thought it would be cool. You know, kids, it's tough for those kids to sponsor a kid across the world. Their parents would probably pay for it, so she wanted them to do something. So they were coloring these sheets to send to the kids that you're going to sponsor tonight. When she was doing that, one of the ladies volunteering with her has two kids in our children's ministry, and the lady said to her, "Hey, my husband was Compassion sponsored," and Karen kind of just rubbed it off and was like, "Oh, you guys sponsor a kid through Compassion? That's awesome. We're about to sponsor a kid through Compassion, and $38 a month changes a kid's life forever. That's awesome." And she goes, "No. You don't understand. When he was a kid, he was in the Compassion program in the Dominican Republic, and God used Compassion to rescue him from poverty, and he's getting his PhD at the med school here at Auburn, and God has revolutionized his family, and they just joined the church." Amazing, amazing. Do you guys want to meet this guy that I'm talking about? Would you please welcome to the stage Hal Marmolejos. Marmolejos. Come on, bro. Can we put up some of those pictures of his family? I think we got some of those. Let's start with the ones of Hal as a kid. No, never mind. You already started with that one. Yeah, great. Hal as a kid in the Dominican. Got a few pictures of that. I can barely see the screen, but you sent me these. Oh, it's right here. You're smarter than me. You're in med school. Man, that's awesome. So awesome. Go ahead and go to the next one. Oh, come on. You're almost as cute as Aniston. It's great. I go to the next one. And that's his beautiful, beautiful family. Hey, let me flip that for you. So I asked Hal to kind of take just a few minutes and walk us through his story of what God did to rescue him and how he got to the place he is sitting right now. And I invite you to tune in because this is going to rock your world. And you are going to see tangibly how the sponsorships that we're starting tonight really are going to change the world. So Hal, why don't you, I know we don't have a ton of time, but walk us through the world you grew up in, when Compassion came into your life, and then how that impacted you today.
Well, as he said, I grew up in the Dominican Republic, and childhood there was a little rough by American standards. I mean, I didn't know any better, but looking back now, it's like, you know, there was a period of my life where in our house we didn't have any windows, you know, just holes in the walls that my mom had put curtains on, and there were our bathroom consisted of a hole in the ground in the backyard that, you know, all we knew about it is you do not want to fall in there because you will never smell the same the rest of your life. So, but, you know, we lived life the way we knew it there, not having a whole lot, but thankful. And for me, my whole life changed when a family from America up in the Northeast decided to look at my picture in one of these cards and my brother's picture. And they chose to sponsor us. And my brother and I, my older brother and I, we were able to receive an education there that we could not even dream of receiving. Was it not for that sponsorship and the faithfulness of those people to us? And little did I know at the time that, you know, that was the venue that God would use to get me to where I'm at today. Because after knocking on a lot of doors and trying to see what God wanted me to do for the rest of my life, when the Lord finally opened up my eyes to the world of medicine, and that's where he needed me at, like, immediately the first thing that came to my mind was like, wow, you know, if it wasn't for that sponsorship, if it wasn't for that education that I received over there in Dominican Republic, I would have never been in a place where I can academically be able to even come close to competing for getting into a school where, you know, 95% of the people that apply get rejected and only 5% make it. So I've been blessed beyond belief in my life. I mean, I have everything I could possibly dream of. I have a perfect family, beautiful wife that's just amazing in every way possible. Perfect kids that even came in a pair. So I've been blessed beyond belief.
Awesome. Well, could you tell us a little bit about the kids that you saw? You shared a story with me this week that weren't as fortunate to have a sponsor and be provided for the way you were.
Yeah, that was something that there was one encounter in particular that changed just my life in the town where my mom grew up there by the border of Haiti. My friends and I were playing one day and came across some kids that were stealing mangoes from one of the neighbors, which was a common thing there in the Dominican Republic. Everybody stole mangoes during mango season. But what was peculiar about these kids was the fact that they were taking the mangoes, peeling them off, and rolling them in the dirt, and then eating them. And to us, you know, as kids, that kind of caught our attention, and we went up to them, and we asked them, like, why they were doing that and stuff, you know. And just when they told us that they were doing that because that the dirt made the eating of the mangoes, the feeling of fullness, just last longer in their stomachs because they didn't have anything to eat. So for me, that to know that these kids were out there going through that, like, there was nothing in these kids' lives, nothing they had done, nothing they had ever, no decision they had ever made that warranted them suffering the way that they were suffering and going through just that type of despair that you have to, I mean, can you imagine to get to a point where you're eating dirt in order just to feel full just a little bit longer? You know, I couldn't imagine that for myself. And that moment right there gave me a trajectory for where I wanted to be, what I wanted to do the rest of my life, or by the end of my life.
I guess it's powerful. I guess at the end, I kind of want you to share with everybody that dream that you have, because I believe that this is the key of how you change the world through alleviating a child's poverty. You told me this week about what your ultimate goal is, and I want you to tell our church so we can make it happen with you.
Well, and I think that this is where compassion is just completely separate from all other organizations out there that I've been aware of. Like, compassion seeks out kids in all these countries. They partner with local churches there that identify the families that are in greatest need. My dad was a pastor there in the Dominican Republic, and for a period of time there, he was working with Compassion before he had to flee. And they identified the poorest kids in the neighborhoods out there, and they provided for them directly. For me, I know that God brought me to this place for a reason, to this country, the country with most resources in the world. And God has taken me in a trajectory, has blessed me beyond belief, and I know that that has been for a purpose. So my dream since that moment I saw those kids eating mangoes with dirt has been to start an orphanage in my home country of Dominican Republic so that no kid that I'm aware of can go through what the same things that those kids were going through. Kids that parents abandoned because they can't support them, they can't provide for them, you know, kids that the parents just reject them for whatever reason. You know, I want them to know that where the world rejected you, we selected you. God wants you in his fold. And where your earthly father, parents are not there for you, there is a heavenly father that will provide for you and raise you up and make you something that someone that will change not only our country, but hopefully the world. And all it takes is just one person, guys. You know, like for me, that one family changed my life, you know. And we don't know which dominoes are which, but if you do your part, you know, in making a domino fall, you don't know which domino is going to be the one that's going to change the world. And it could be the one that you support.
Wow. Can y'all give him a huge hand? So what do y'all think? Are we going to help build that orphanage? I mean, come on. Come on. A couple things. I just can't believe that. I mean, they've been a part of our church for months. I had no idea how God had used this organization to provide for them. And if you're here and you're going, what exactly does this look like? Compassion as an organization exists to be Christ-centered, church-based, and child-focused. And so Jesus is at the center of what they are doing. They are not releasing children from poverty in the name of social justice. They are releasing children from poverty in the name of Jesus. And there's a difference. There's a difference in doing justice for the sake of doing justice and doing justice with the one in your heart who created justice. And what Compassion does is they unapologetically put Jesus on display for these kids, but they partner with local churches. So it's not just going to some random group of people. They go through the local church and they say, who's the poorest family and who's the poorest kid in that family? We start there. And what they do is they form these projects where each kid gets to work on their educational health, their physical health, their spiritual health, and their social health. And I remember when Matt and I went to Peru a couple months ago and they told us their four things, we were like, okay, cool. That's like whiteboard material. Every project we visited had those four things everywhere. Every kid going, today we did this for my physical health, this for my spiritual health, this for my social health, and this for my educational health every single day. Here's what else I love about Compassion. I think in America, we have an American save the world complex that's wrong. And what Compassion does is they only hire employees that live in the country where they're going. So they don't go, hey, we're coming with all the food that you need and all the stuff that you need because we're American. And we got what you don't have, so here you go. No, what they do is they bolster the economy there by working with local people. If you want to work for Compassion and work in Peru, guess what? You can't. Why? Because you're not from there. It's amazing. And so everything about this organization, Matt and I just fell in love with, and we hope you do too. But more than anything, I hope you saw from Hal's story how you ultimately do change the world through kids. Wondering how are we gonna change this lost, dark, and broken world? How do you do something about the wars and the poverty and the statistics? Here's where you start, children. Because number one, the kids didn't ask for the situations that they are in. And number two, if they grow up with an opportunity for a different life, they might just be the one who grows up and starts an orphanage where they were from because they got a shot at doing something great. That picture that you just saw, that's how you change the world. In Jesus' name, stepping into a need, feeling the pain of another person, participating in prayer and doing something, not just to give a handout, but so that they have a progression to change the world themselves. And that's what he did, and that's what I believe God's going to do on three specific continents starting tonight. Now, like I said, we want to be on every continent all over the world. And who knows?
We may get to Antarctica eventually, but we're going to start. I love that that's part of the conversation. We're going to start, as you can see on these canvases, with South America, Asia, and Africa. I want to talk about South America for a second. We are going to start our partnership in a country called Colombia. And our first ACC mission trip coming in May of 2018 will be to go to Colombia and provide for and visit and see so many of the kids that are on that wall right there. Now, it's our first ever mission trip, and we can't take this whole room. Big shocker. So it's going to start out with some of our local families that have been in the church for a long time, and we're going to have to handpick that team. I'm so sorry. I know so many of y'all are like, man, I want an ACC mission trip. We're going to be sending trips to all these places in the years to come. Just hold on. But if you are a part of our local families, you're in a community group, you come to family dinner. If you're here and you're in college, don't ask about family dinner because you're not invited. But those are the kids that you want to aim for because you'll get to see them in just a couple of months. And on some of the packets, it says church partner on there. That just means that that kid is specifically a part of a project that is 100% funded by ACC. And so there's a project, I think, with 109 kids in Colombia that we are going to start our initial partnership with. If you know Spanish and you're like passionate about South America, highly recommend that you go check that one out and that you sponsor a kid. By the way, how sponsorship works is that $38 a month allows a kid to participate in the Compassion Project in their local community. The second place we're going to be is in Asia, South America, and then we're going to go to Asia, and this is specifically the Philippines and all over Indonesia. I don't know what you know about that part of the world, but specifically in the Philippines, sex trafficking and human slavery is absolutely out of control. In fact, if you go to Asia, to some of the surrounding countries, they view Filipinos as less than human, almost like a pet of some sort. And so specifically in Bangladesh and Indonesia and the Philippines, if you're here and you're passionate about ending the sex trade, and I know that many of you are, that's probably where you want to aim your partnership, because when you grab one of those little girls, that could have been a little girl that ended up in a brothel. And when you grab one of those boys, that could have been one of the Johns that was going to that place consistently who got rescued by Jesus. It starts with doing something. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. It starts with doing more than putting a red X on your hand. It does. You need to do something, and you have an opportunity to do it tonight. I'm so sorry if that just offended you, but if you've been coming for a while, you know that's normal. South America, Asia, and then Africa. So there's this little village in Ghana where Compassion showed up and basically found that the needs are so great that they had to find the poorest family and the poorest kid and start somewhere. And there's this project that the guy who works with Compassion, who's here tonight, his name is Matt Wilson, specifically held for ACC to sponsor on this night. And he reached out to me about a month ago, and he was like, you're not going to believe this. Compassion makes these videos a couple times a year to just promote Compassion around the world. They put it on social media and stuff. And he said they made a video of ACC's project in Ghana. And so you're about to watch a video of what exactly Compassion is, if you have any questions about that and how much the need is there. But I want you to know this, the video that you're watching, the kids in the video, they're over there underneath the Africa canvas. And so I finally want you to see the picture right in front of you of how Compassion impacts the world. This is our partnership in Ghana. Let's check out this video, and then God's going to do something. You know what I love about that video is how they talked about shuddering to think about the future, and then they talked about the potential for how there could be a new future. And in this season as a church, we went through a series a couple weeks ago called Create the Future. And I'm sitting here looking at these faces and going, the capacity to create a new future lives in this room right now. And I hope you feel the weight of what's about to happen in this space. And I know the parents in the room who see that video, life is just different as a parent. And when you have a daughter, when I think about this family and I think about my daughter, and if her picture was on a wall somewhere where people could change her life forever, I would stand in front of them if they had the means and say, please do something about this. So I hope you feel the weight of what we're talking about on three different continents, and I hope your heart is moved. If it is not, you are not compelled to do anything tonight. But if compassion is welling up within you, we want to invite you and your family to sponsor a kid, sponsor several kids. I was talking to the staff at Compassion, and initially they said, hey, what if ACC sponsored 250 kids in one night? And I said, that would be awesome. But you, this was in Peru. I was like, you haven't been to ACC. We'll take 500. And then the week of, got a little more confident and said, no. Put up 750. And I believe that you guys are going to take all those kids and more tonight. Before we go into worship and before we invite you to sponsor a child, I want to invite up Matt Wilson from Compassion. Would you give him a hand really quick? He's going to give us some logistic instructions.
Man, we've been praying for this night. And I remember when they actually came to me and talked to me about the project in Ghana. And they said, this is a pretty special project. And we want to highlight them. And they said, is there a special church for us to work with? And I was like, yeah, we got one. And man, I'm so excited that we are here tonight, because guys, I'm telling y'all, I texted you the other day, Miles, and I was like, every time I watch that video and I see Christine's face, and when change is coming across, I was like, man, I cry every time. Because here's the thing, I've been to a ton of compassion projects. I've been to a ton of churches out there who are promoting compassion and talking about partnerships. But I know this tonight, that change is coming. So here's the story with that. It just never happens, guys. This is such a special moment for these kids in Ghana, just like in Colombia and Asia. But in Ghana, that project actually only started 5 weeks ago. This is brand new. Every one of those is waiting for their sponsor. And if you look over there on those packets, there's a little church over there, and all 140 of those that are part of that compassion project are on that wall over there. So I'd encourage you, let's get those kids sponsored tonight. Let's go well beyond that. And it's going to be an incredible, incredible night. As Miles has challenged you, hey, when you stand up and you're drawn to a certain area, a certain packet, pick this up and bring it back to your seat. All we need is the bottom part right here. We've got ushers and people who are going to help you out. At these tables, there's going to be some people to answer some questions. We're going to have people down the aisles. Once you bring this back, fill out the front and back of it. Man, just hold it up and we'll come get it. If you've got a question, come to a table. Because I believe it right now, change is coming. Change is coming to about 750 kids here as this begins. But here's what we also know, is that change is coming to you. And change is coming to this church. Because when you partner with a child at Compassion, man, it is a back and forth relationship. Man, you can write letters back and forth. You can disciple a child across the world. And here's the amazing thing that happens. They start to disciple you too. They start to pour into you as well. So truly, this church will never be the same.
And y'all give him a huge hand for being here with us. Thank you, Matt. So every Sunday we have church, we respond by singing songs. And we are going to sing a little bit. But the response tonight is going to be to sponsor a child. All you got to do is take a packet, fill out the part that Matt told you to fill out. I want to say this, though. If you take one, you need to fill it out tonight. If you take that packet home with you and don't turn in any information and just, man, I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to think about it, that kid is not getting sponsored. Like, you have them held. So it needs to get turned in, filled out, and figured out tonight. I'm going to count to three. We're going to turn the lights up when I do, and you'll have space. We're going to sing in just a few minutes. But our worship response is going to be sponsoring a kid, $38 a month. And on the count of three, would you go and do that? One, two, three, go. All over this room, go.
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church podcast. We are so thankful and amazed by all God is doing with our partnership through Compassion International. And if you or someone you know would like to sponsor a child, please visit www.compassion.com. and help release children from poverty in Jesus' name.